quoted Pasuk too, but it's mentioned in the Talmud. They quote this about the benefits that you get from the observance of mitzvahs. So it likens the ner mitzvah, the ner. A mitzvah is considered like a ner. And the entire Torah is considered like or, like light, which is greater than a ner, because a ner burns out and a light keeps on going. I mean, light outside in the day, it doesn't disappear when the sun moves away, but as long as the sun's there, it's light. Whereas an individual mitzvah is considered as a simple candle. Now, just as light always illuminates, so Gemara says the merit of Torah, of studying Torah, also stands for a person forever. But the merit of the commandment is only for a certain time, just like a light which eventually burns out. So that's the merit of Torah and the merit of mitzvahs. Now, another interpretation Rashi brings down is the following. The command of the Father is considered like a candle. That means whoever fulfills the command of the Father is as though he takes a candle into a dark place and he's able to find it by its light. So also whoever fulfills the mother's instruction is also light for him, because we had before the altitoish teres imecha. So it's like saying that the mitzvah of the father and the mitzvah of honoring one's father and mother. And it's using light in both instances. So according to this interpretation, there would not necessarily be a difference from ner to Torah. They're both expressions of light, and one speaks about the father, and one speaks about the mother. The Torah simecha is the mother. But if you recall, we also said that previous pasuk we interpreted Torah simecha in verse 20. They said there that the Torah simecha refers to Nitzor b'ni mitzvah vicha. It said v'al titoish teres imecha. The instruction of the mother, it says, symbolizes the stories of the Torah which bring a person to perfection. So if you say that, you can appreciate this pasuk too. Kiner mitzvah. That father is like fulfilling the father's, whatever the father tells you. That's basically, if he tells you this is the way to do it or that is the way to do it. So that's also interest in your welfare. But the mother works on the entire human being. The mother develops the entire human being. So therefore, it would be more of a Torah or, again, the or is greater than the ner, and the mother's contribution would therefore be greater. V'derech chayim tochachas musar, meaning that the proper way, if one listens, although it's not pleasant to listen to discipline when a person rebukes you or a person is always criticizing supposedly you for your betterment. It's however for your betterment. So v'derech chayim, that which keeps you on the proper path of life, is tochaches musar, is the fact that someone is always criticizing you, or not criticizing you in a derogatory sense, but disciplining you. So that keeps you on the straight road, okay? If you're driving at night and you would tend to fall asleep, so you always have someone to say, keep on talking to me or asking me if you're sleeping, are you sleeping? That'll keep you awake. And then you'll go on the straight path. So the teichaches musar that a person hears, that really may not be pleasant, because, you know, stop asking me if I'm sleeping already, you know, you would say. But the truth is that that keeps you awake. So that's the derech chayim, that keeps you on the road of life. So that's very important. So basically you have three things here, that the idea of the performance of mitzvahs, if you take it literally, the idea of the study of Torah, and the idea of listening to discipline when people discipline you, when they seek to better you. All three things are very important for a person to travel in the proper path of life. Now, what do you benefit from this? Lishmorcha me'eshes ra, to guard you from an evil woman. Now, when it speaks here an evil woman, it means either idolatry, like we said. There are two interpretations that we repeat constantly. It means, in its literal sense, it means an evil woman, a body of morality. But the mashal, like he said, is the disciplines of various philosophical disciplines that can seek to be attractive to an individual. A person who is an intellectual has a passion for different thoughts and different ideas, and therefore it could be likened to an Eishes Ra. You have to say that, Rashi says. You can't see that Shlomo HaMelech was speaking of an evil woman, because Rashi says you must say that he's speaking about Aveda Zora, because if he meant a real woman, an immoral woman, is that all that you could reward and praise the Torah? You're saying the greatness of Torah and reward is that it guards you from this. I mean, we would think that the Torah would guard you from much greater things. So therefore, as he says, you have to say it also implies idolatry. But in addition to applying idolatry, it also is morality, right? Is the morality. A person, we know, the fact of the matter is that you have to have quite a bit of strength in order to be able to function in a moral way in an immoral society. And it's that everybody acts immorally. Therefore, you have to have really, and because people, when we say immorally, there are two we'll see pretty soon in the next pasuk. It says, Lishmorcha me'eshescha, and we'll interpret this in both ways, from keeping to guard you me'eshes ro, from an evil woman. Mechelkas l'shein nochriya. Mechelkas l'shein nochriya. Chelkas is like cholok, the smoothness of a alien tongue. That means the attractiveness of an alien tongue. So again, if it goes on an evil woman, we understand. But if it goes on apostasy, so it means to attract you from these charlatans, the tongue that preaches paganism and apostasy and so forth, it blinds the eyes and it entices people. You could see that people who follow certain cults, even today, which they're like pagan things, it's not a general belief in monotheistic God, but it's a pagan type of a culture, it's a pagan belief. So they are overwhelmed. Every so often you read in the paper about these little groups that this guy's going on trial for this, charlatans, these evangelistic types of religions. But basically they sell the people on a certain thing. How are they able to do that? Because they're excellent salesmen. You know, people have the glibness of the tongue. Bilam was that way, keche bepeh. That means Bilam, in addition to the fact that he could curse and know, but he also was a very glib and a very smooth tongue. Not Lahavdil, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was kvad peh, but by him he was keche bepeh. He could sell, he was a good vacuum cleaner salesman. So that was the godless of Bilam. So the Aveda Zora had that. And here also you have to be very careful not to be enticed and won over by these missionaries. They are very glib. L'shein nochriya. Therefore, al-tachmeid, and again, it has both interpretations as we're going along. Al-tachmeid yofya bilvovecha. Don't let her gather your imagination by wanting her beauty in your heart. And don't let her captivate you with her eyelid. That means she could, with a wink, by an eyelid, she will be able to gather your imagination. That's what the first part says. Although you would never go near to this person, but your mind can be caught, your desire can be caught. And how could it be caught? If you don't go near, how could it be caught? With a wink. The truth is that she'll wink, and this wink is a certain type of an enticement that could set you off. It doesn't have to even speak to the person to know the person. Just with a wink, it's able to achieve that. And this again is going into idolatry just as well. Then all of the truths Shlomo HaMelech presents here, that she could captivate you with a wink of the eye. Ki be'ad isha zeino, and then he even goes further, ad kikar lechem, because a man is brought into poverty. He gives up, and this we could really see day by day, and a person could give up. In fact, he gives up his whole position in life, and his last piece of bread comes about as a result because of the Isha Zeina, because he got involved with an immoral, illicit relationship. Again, this pasuk is oft quoted, Ki be'ad Isha Zeina, ad kikar lechem. He's brought down to his last loaf of bread. We know that it's true in morality. We know it's true also when a person gets hung up and addicted to drugs, or even a person who's an alcoholic. He'll give away his last piece of bread in order to be able to get some alcohol, some liquor. He'll give away his last piece of bread in order to be able to get some relief from his addiction to drugs. So when a person loses control of himself, so it's ad kikar lechem. There is no family, there is nothing, it's ad kikar lechem. Now, you could appreciate this in its literal sense. And also it says, ve'ish es ish, nefesh yikora totsu. A person who runs after another man's wife, with her smooth talk, she's able to capture nefesh yikora, the most innocent soul. You'll say that the most innocent soul would be oblivious to all importuning and everything that she seeks, all her flirtation. But no, the keach of this immorality is nefesh yikora totsu. It can cap the soul. It means the soul is called yikora because it comes from the light of Hashem. The soul was the creation of Hashem. Miri says that the idea of nefesh yikora totsud, like you find in mythology, the fact is that she'll capture his soul and he will be doomed because the evil spirit of immorality has captured the soul. So in both aspects it's saying that the person loses his soul there and he can lose his most precious possession, his soul, here. And that means the person is so addicted and he acts so foolish and he gives up everything. Now, we have a blatant example of that. If, I don't know, it was about 6 months ago, every so often they write about it. You have a judge in New York who was the head of the whole judges, whatever it was, correct? And he got involved with this woman. And what did he lose? He lost everything. None of his money, his position, his dignity, his honor, everything. Till the last kikar lechem, and nefesh yikora, and his status, and his position. Nefesh yikora totsud. You could see the politicians. I mean, but in the political world, you see it constantly and constantly. Can you picture it? In the past, you take people that in our past, like Gary Hart or somebody, who was holding on the way to the White House, right? From this president, you can't learn. I'm all in. But Lamaisa. But usually, you end up with a nefesh yikora totsud. Okay? Now, hayachte ish eish becheke, ubgodov le tisraf no. A person can say, can a man take an ember in his garment? If you take something hot, you say, well, I'm able to guard myself. It's going to obviously burn his clothes. If you put some fire on your clothes, it's going to become burnt. The same thing is, can you walk on hot coals? Im yahalach ish, can a person walk ala gecholim on coals, veraglov leitiko veno, and he shouldn't scorch his feet? Obviously, his feet will be burnt. Kein hapo eleishes ve'eyu. Lo yinoke kol anegeya bo. So is the one who goes to his neighbor's wife. That means there's no way that he's going to escape if they don't catch him in this world, so in the world to come. But I mean, but he's condemned and he's doomed. Ve'raglov lo yinoke, habo eleishes ve'ehu, lo yinoke kol hanegeya bo. A person who touches her is kolanegeya, will not go away cleanly from this. Now, the idea is, the Miri gives the literal interpretation, which is correct. He says you could have two ways. There could be an act of affection, kissing, embracing, things like this. So in that instance, the person has transgressed a negative commandment. It means if you kiss a strange woman, according to the Rambam, you are aver aniser deoraisa. If you embrace a strange woman, according to Maimonides, you would transgress aniser of the Torah. In fact, it's a big problem when it comes to marriages or divorces and marriages, when you have two witnesses. So you ask the person, are you related? Are you a Shomer Shabbos? That's not sufficient. That may be sufficient for other matters, but it's usur to be a witness at a wedding if in any way you have violated this and not done tshuva. It means a person could always do tshuva, you know, maybe when he was younger, but he could do tshuva. But if he didn't do tshuva, then he's posel eidus. So the idea is it's transgressed a negative commandment. So he says that's the idea here when he says no one who touches her will go unpunished. That's one aspect. Then there's the other idea that if he committed a capital crime, so that person has committed a much greater crime. So both of these, the Meiri said, where it says, Hayachte ish eish becheike, can a person then place the embers in his skirt? Meaning it's not that bad, this would be the violation of the embracing. So his garments will be scorched. Uv godav lo tisrafenu. And then he says, if he really was intimate, then in yahalech ish ala gecholim, that's likened to walking, where it's a much greater fire, you're actually walking on the gecholim, veraglov lo tikovenu. The idea of likening to a fire is very simple, because you have no control over this. This is a appetite, a passion, that it's very difficult for a person to control. And therefore, he literally has no control over it. So was Aveda Zora. So was Aveda Zora. And Aveda Zora, at one time, idolatry, was so consuming that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim had to pray to God that he should remove this idolatry or this passion for idolatry from mankind. Because at that time they weren't able to overcome it. So the idolatry is more than the passion that a person has, is the passion for idolatry. So that they removed. That they removed. And that's a novel thought. You know, they removed the Yetzohara. So all of these ideas, which we think, or we look at, that's what Shlomo HaMelech said in his introduction. In a sense, it's a moshel and a nimshel. We look at it as an immorality. It has a teaching. We can't really appreciate the idolatry. We can a little bit. We see how a Jones could take people down there, and how many thousand were there that drank the poison. So we see what a glib tongue can do. We see that. We see how Yimach Shmei Hitler, with his glib tongue, was able to make a nation wild. I mean, there's no question a glib tongue can do anything at any time. But the passion of idolatry, we don't find. We can learn what it was because we know what the passion for immorality is in society. People give up, as we say, the greatest positions. And if they had to beg that the idolatry should be removed, that means idolatry was much more difficult than this. And so we could see, you know, the attractiveness to that. Because, really, if you understood some of the makings, some of the occult nature of the world, of nature, and you knew how the forces in heaven are, and you knew how a little bit magic, as we say, what you would call it, to work with the Kechas in the Bria, you would be infatuated in order to be able to learn something new. In fact, that's how he learned that Pharaoh. Why did Paro continue his old debate with Moshe the entire time and suffered all of that? Because Moshe gave him a new name of a god, and he says, who is this god? You know, and he thought he knew every god. Like according to the Medrash, he had it checked out in the encyclopedia. He thought he knew every god. And here was a god that had a certain power that he didn't know. Forget the wife, right? Sometimes a guy could be involved in research. You know, you have certain scientists that they're so involved with research, they forget day and night, they forget family. I mean, it's their whole, the whole thing is, so that's the keach that idolatry was at that time. So there's no question that he's giving you a muscle to understand that also. I mean, when you analyze immorality, there are people that no longer have physical passions, yet they still are immoral. That's the keach of immorality over a person. It's not that the person will say has a physical need for immorality. He doesn't really have the physical need, but it captivates him mentally even. And that's the keach. It's a phenomenal keach. It's the keach of the snake. The snake, the nochash, had both keches, rebelliousness against the Creator. We see that from the psukim. And also the same idea was the passion for chava. So both of these raw, he was able to implant into man. What happens further? When you read in the paper about somebody walking into a 7-Eleven and sticking up someone and taking some money to feed his family, say. So then you say, ganef. And I mean, ganef to go. On the other hand, if a person, a fine person, commits adultery, nobody looks back a second time now. Maybe for positions like we said, you know, he's... It's the equivalent of hiring an illegal immigrant to be a babysitter, yeah. Something like that, you know. But it's not comparable in any way to a guy going in and holding up a 7-Eleven. Of course not. Here it says, "Lo yavoizu legane." The truth is that you won't despise a thief, ki yignif lemale nafshe. When he steals lemale nafshe to fill his need, ki yirov, because he's hungry. So he's stealing because he's hungry. He doesn't hurt anybody. And he could always make amends for that. V'nimtzo, if you find him, yishalem, he'll pay even shivasoyim seven times as much. So he'll pay even seven times as much. Es kol heim beise yitain. And he say he could give all of his values that he has. Yitain, he will give this money and he'll be able to correct his crime. He'll make retribution with punishment and everything else. And the crime originally that he did was really for hunger. And this thief, oh, he's a thief, I don't want to be near him, he's a ganef. Yet he says, Nayef Isha, a person who commits adultery, is that much worse. He didn't do it because of hunger, Rashi says. Chasar Leiv, he did it because he was lacking wisdom. What does it mean, lacking wisdom? The idea was, of course, everybody has the Yetzer Hara within him, that's man. But God gave us wisdom, and the wisdom we've always described to be a zookeeper. You keep all these instincts and all these passions under control with a lock. But if you're chasar leiv, if you're lacking a little bit of wisdom, then these passions run out. They run rampant. So noef isha, a person who is a noef isha, it's not because his stomach is hungry, but chasar leiv. He is lacking the ability, he doesn't have seichel. And what happens to him? Mashris nafshe, hu yaseno. It's as if the person he's not compelled to commit this act. So it's as if it's a suicidal approach that he has. Mashris nafshe, hu yaseno. It's as if he's destroying his soul. That's why he's doing it. And a person is bent on self-destruction. Mashris nafshe. Again, he should forgive me, Gary Hart. They said, he used to read the paper, they said, what, is he crazy? Like inviting reporters like to catch him supposedly. So they said he was bent on suicide. That's what they wanted to say, that he really felt a way that he wanted he didn't want to do this. He had a certain mishigas that it was like suicidal. So in a sense, this is what he's saying here, that a person that loses the ability to reason and to understand and therefore to control himself, this person is mashris nafshe. He's like a person who is bent on self-destruction. Now, the Malbim also says, what is the excuse of the adulterer? So he'll say, well, just like there's an excuse for hunger. Hunger, we just said, you steal because your stomach is hungry. So he steals to satisfy this tremendous urge that he has. so he wants to commit adultery. So the Malm says there's a big difference. Person should realize that by the piece of bread, once you finish, you're satisfied. You're not hungry again. But really, when you get involved in immoral acts, so the more involved he is, the greater the attraction is, like we see in these cases. So these are the lessons of Shlomo HaMelech. In fact, you have it. It's very interesting when he says, Hayachte ish eish becheke. He says it's almost impossible for a human being to carry a piece of fire in his garment. Uvgodov leisis orav, and he shouldn't burn his garment. Im yahalach ish ala gecholim, if somebody tells you he walked on a gecholim, on a hot coal, raglov leitik aveno, and he came out not singed, scorched, don't believe him. Now, I don't want to cast any aspersions on the senator from Virginia, but when Chuck Robb tells you that he really had a certain assignation with this, they accused him of adultery, but he didn't, chas v'sholem, do anything wrong. And he described, so it's really, you just have to tell him to look in Mishle, sentence 27 and 28, because this is beyond the human control of a person. A person cannot control this, because once he makes the first step, the snake within him comes out. He made the decision already because he's chasar lev, because he doesn't have control over him, over his person. Once he has no control over his person, then he can forget it. Now, this is an any addiction. You have to realize it's an any addiction. When you have an alcoholic, the alcoholic tells you, I only had intention to take a little bit of wine. But once I took that little bit of wine, I don't know what happened. So in the Alcoholics Anonymous, an addiction to cigarettes. You got to stop one more cigarette or any kind of addiction. If a person decides, I'm going to do a little bit and then I'm going to cut it, he's only fooling himself. It's chasar lev hu yaaseno. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling you. It says, Leisasu acharei levavchem v'acharei enechem. Because if it gets an input into your heart, you can't say, well, since it's in my heart, I'm defeated already. I mean, no, it says that a person should seek to turn his mind immediately to other things. Person is the police force, it's the control. If there's a match, you don't want to make a fire. But what happens if the match falls and a little fire starts? So immediately what you have to do is to get the fire extinguisher and to put out the fire, right? You have to call the fire department. You have to do something. But a person who says, well, it's only a small fire, it's not going to come into a conflagration, that's not true. That's because he's chasar lev. The famous story in the Gemara about this Amerer who was enticed to sin, and he was going up the steps, so he screamed out, Sebrent, Sebrent, a fire, a fire. And then he had the fire, so he ran away. What's the idea of a fire? A fire, that's where's the fire? He saw in Gan Eden he's going to burn. So he was screaming, a fire, so how do you put out the fire? You turn around. So there have to be aids, ways to aid the person to be able to do this. And that's the instruction of Chof Gimel. Ne'er mitzvah ve'torah or v'derech chayim tochech es musar. And if the Torah itself is a way to keep the person, Rashi says, you must say it has another meaning, because otherwise, is that such a great thing? But the truth is that it is such a great thing, because a person, to keep control of a person, to have the lev, like we say, the lev, chasar lev, that person, you have to have Torah to develop that. If that's all the Torah was able to do, to give a person control over himself, that he shouldn't be a chasar lev, that is a tremendous accomplishment. All right. Now he tells you the general result of this person's behavior. Nega v'kolen yimtza. He'll find wounds. Nega. He'll be wounded. V'kolon and disgrace. V'cherpose lo simoche. And his reproach will never be erased. That means there's no way that the shame that he has will ever be erased. Because, how does it say? It says by Yosef HaTzadik, when he came to Eishes Potiphar, so she importuned him, so it says he didn't listen to her. So they say, what's the double expression? To lie next to her, to be with her. Meaning that if he lies next to her here, liyais imo, he will be with her in the Elam HaNeshamis. And if he'd walk on there into the Elam HaNeshamis with Eishes Petifa dragging along, like a caleb. So he had this envision, right? So that stopped him, you understand? It said that he had, that's the best proof of the extinguishers. It said, the Musti Yukne Shaloviv, he had the picture of his father's image, the Chazal tell us, that cooled his ardor. Or Liyais Imo, to be with her. Or Eselekim Ani Yore, I fear God. This is the idea of the Torah and the mitzvos, which bring about to the Yiras Hashem, and that held him back. But if a person does not do this, he could expect nega vekolein, an eternal shame. Cherpose leisimoche. Why? Where is he going to get? All right, fine. We could understand everything, but who's going to wound him? So it says, kikina chamas gover. The jealousy will come from the wrath of the husband. If he commits adultery, the husband's wrath will never be able to be appeased. V'le'yachmol, and he won't have pity b'yayim nekom in the day that he takes vengeance. Now again, just to remind us, if he's speaking about idolatry, so this is Hashem, that Hashem will take vengeance on you. And there's no way that you'll be able to ransom. The ganef before was able to pay seven times as much. You don't want seven? Give me your house, fine, he'll give the house, but at least he'll totally be able to eradicate it. But here, there is no way. Layisa p'nei kol kefer. You will have no regard for ransom. No ransom will be able to save you. Neither will he consent to leave you alone, like if you give him a lot of money. So the same idea is with the adultery and the idolatry. So Shlomo HaMelech, in his phrases here, really we could appreciate how he understood the world, what the world is. Every word is so true and realistic. He knew what he was talking about.